And it's so good to be here with you. My, what a flood of memories has come to my mind, both in driving out here and then just being with you all. If I have the calculations right, tomorrow will be 18 months since we first canceled a service because of the lockdown for the coronavirus. And we had a Zoom practice with the CLT, I think, and the elders that morning. And who would have imagined it would be 18 months till we'd be back inside here? That's stretched us. I'm glad to be back, not just to be with you, but also to be a part of this series on unconventional outreach. I like the things you're doing with it and the way you're thinking about ways to touch people's lives. Now, if there's such a thing as unconventional outreach, I suppose we're talking also about conventional outreach. What might that be like? And I suppose we think about perhaps some formulaic ways of sharing the gospel, about perhaps even confronting people with maybe a formula for salvation, a four spiritual laws, or perhaps a Roman road, or other ways that sort of a proposition for belief. That might be a traditional way that might even leave a bad taste in some of our mouth because we think maybe of being confrontive. Like, who wants to take somebody by the throat to share good news? But this morning, I'd like to talk about a different way, a way of outreach and sharing good news that feels more natural to me and that is faithful to the scripture in some of the stories that are there. I'm inviting you to think about sharing the good news or evangelism as spiritual companionship, or I could use the word accompaniment. Now, let's just say someone says to you, I was thinking about taking a walk this afternoon, but I really don't feel like going by myself. And you might say, well, I'll go with you. We'll go together. That's accompaniment. And you know, all of us are on a journey of life, a walk of life. And from time to time, we really want someone to walk alongside us, to accompany us, so to speak. That's really what I mean when I'm speaking about companionship, being a companion along the way, accompaniment. They're tied together, aren't they? This companionship business. So often when you're on a walk with someone, you're companioning or accompanying someone, you get into conversation. What do you talk about when you're with someone, especially friends? Well, there's many things you might talk about, things you're interested in doing, that you're excited about, things that have meaning and purpose to you. You might talk about some fears you have, worries, hopes, dreams. You might speak of loving or being loved, of disappointments, frustrations. Well, the list is endless of things you talk about when someone's accompanying you, especially if they're a good listener. You might say things you never thought you would say if somebody's really listening. So when I'm speaking about sharing the good news as companionment, I'm talking about the kind of conversations that you end up being with. And not just the words you speak, but your presence. Maybe holding hands or putting your hand on someone's shoulder, or just saying, I'm here, we're together. Now, last Sunday, Lori preached here. And I listened to that sermon, by the way, because I knew she was part of the series. And I'm going to say, yes, I talked to her about this. I'm going to say that that sermon was bursting with themes of spiritual accompaniment. Actually, it was an invitation. Did you hear it? A couple of times she said, and I could talk with you about this. She was saying, I'm telling you who I am in a vulnerable, open, authentic, transparent way. Now, this is the part I'm supplying, and I'd love to have you talk to me that way too. I think that's what I heard in that sermon. I'd be happy to accompany you on the kind of basis on which I'm speaking and revealing myself to you today. conversations. Now, I saw this happen last Thursday in a men's group. I was a guest at a men's group. Jim Rush, by the way, of this congregation, is a member of this group. They sit around, have a little bit of breakfast and a lot of conversation. And that particular morning, people were sort of, you know, the conversation goes here and there, kind of whoever sort of brings something up. And then the host said, "I have a question. How do you feel about prayers for anointing or healing? How do you feel God heals people?" And then he went on to explain why he asked the question. Because not so very long ago, about a year ago, he was scheduled for a surgery with a mass in his chest, and his sister was praying fervently for him. In fact, she called people all over there. Well, he said she has people around the world who pray in this group with her. And then I got in there, and they said, this is just benign. We are not going to operate. And the doctors are still mystified. A year later, they're still wondering. So what has been your experience? That was his question. Well, that led to some interesting conversation around that group, and you can imagine I was listening. I mean, I have stage 4 lung cancer, so I'm listening to how do these people feel about prayers, healing, these kinds of things. Well, that was a real spiritual conversation. One of the brothers shared very deeply about a very serious injury he'd had on the job some years before, being in the hospital for weeks and then in recovery for months, and how God met him in that occasion, in that time. And then someone else spoke up about another friend that had a very long illness, etc. So people were sharing around, and whether you can believe it or not, I didn't say a thing. I was just listening to that conversation. But you know, I was thinking, that would have been a great place for a non-Christian to be sitting and listening. Because although it wasn't an attempt at evangelism, because I don't know that anybody in that circle isn't already a Christian, but it was the good news. There was lots of good news in that conversation about God's grace and God's mercy and God's love and prayer. It was like, yeah, this is a spiritual conversation. And lots of conversations we have with people are spiritual conversations, whether we mention God or not, because they deal with things that are inside us, especially deep heart conversations. The things I mentioned earlier, like fears, dreams, hopes, all those things, those are spiritual things. Now, I think many of us are capable of such conversations with people, especially when it comes to listening. And you might think, I'm not an extrovert. Well, let me clue you in. Introverts do better at companionship lots of times than extroverts do. They're more apt to stay quiet long enough to hear what people are saying and to listen to people. So let's move to the scripture now and take these two stories that have been read. And as Paul said in his reading, these are selections. It's not the whole story that he read, but I suppose many of you are familiar with these two stories. Let's just look at them through the eyes of accompaniment or spiritual companionship. So here we have Jesus coming into this situation in Samaria. Actually, the Bible says he needed to go through Samaria. Just what that means is interesting, too, because, well, if you're going to go straight from where he started to where you want to end up, you have to go through Samaria. But most people didn't do that. They went around it. So he had a sense, I think, of call from God to go through so he'd meet people in Samaria. That's what I take that to mean. And so it's the middle of the day, he's hot, tired, needing a drink. He has no water. He has no bottled water. He has no vessel to draw water from a well. So he's sitting there, and a woman shows up, and he asks her to give him a drink. Well, thanks, Paul, for encouraging us to ask the question. What kind of person would it be surprising for me to have a conversation with? That's the essence of what you're asking, for us to think about that. Well, this is definitely a good illustration of that, because That's the first thing the woman said. Before she even went to give him a drink, she said, "How is it that you, being a Jew, would ask me, a Samaritan, for a drink?" We just don't do that. So you can just frame this entire conversation as being a very surprising conversation. She is surprised that he's talking to her. And not just that he's talking to her, but the kind of things they talk about. You know, we're so familiar with this story, it's very difficult to put ourselves into the place of people who heard it for the very first time. But I can assure you, the people of Jesus' day who read this story are saying, "You gotta be kidding! This is amazing!" You know, like if you're at the church softball game, if Dave King is pitching, let's put it this different way. If Sarah Piper is pitching and Dave King is at the bat, you're not going to be all that surprised if he whacks it really good and gets a home run. But if Dave is pitching and Sarah knocks it out of the park, you're going to be talking about it at church dinners for the next 10 years. Right? Right. Well, that's why this story, we're still talking about it thousands of years as it's written, because it's that kind of a story. It's so surprising. What's surprising about it? Well, let me go a little deeper into the story, and I'll tell you all the things I think that are so surprising about it. Here's Jesus asking for a drink of water. Then they got to talking not just about, well, water in the well. They're talking about water in the soul. They're talking about water of life. They're talking about, well, they're talking about worship. They're talking about her relative. They're talking about her husband. I mean, the conversation's just going along. And we don't know just all that Jesus said, because there's probably more there than is recorded in the story, but it is the longest recorded dialogue of Jesus talking to anybody in the Gospels. 7 exchanges. I mean, we have the story of Nicodemus in chapter 3, and we think of that as being a story, but there's just like 3 exchanges in that story. Here there's 7. It's long, it's deep. That's amazing. And not only that Jesus had a conversation with this woman, but the conversation, what they talked about, I mean, history and theology. This is not something that men and women who are Jews and Samaritans talk to each other in public. It's just so surprising. Now, some of us have read this story as saying, Jesus is talking to a sinful woman. She's immoral. She's a prostitute. She's a whore. She's been married to 5 different husbands. Now she's living with someone who's not her husband. Now just back up a little bit and consider this. Some years ago, some folks who were interested in biblical interpretation did a special study with this story. They invited people around the world to discuss this story in groups and then come back to tell what they had learned. And here's what's so fascinating about it. Here in the United States especially, we say, this is a sinful woman. She's been sinning against all these men. But in other parts of the world, they come back and say, this is a woman who's been sinned against. Remember, those 5 husbands. Women in Jesus' day had no authority or right to divorce their husbands. Only husbands could divorce their wives. So it's not like she's initiating these divorces. And here she's living with a man she's not married to. What's wrong with him? How come he's not marrying her? He's taking advantage of her without even marrying her. That's how people around the world see it. And think about this. There's no hint in this story that Jesus saw her as a sinful person. Now, there are stories in the Gospels where it says something like, and this woman was a sinner, or people talk about a sinner, or Jesus says to repent, or go and sin no more. There's no hint of that in this story. What we see here is Jesus engaging this woman in a way that just was so surprising, because they had a back and forth. She was feisty. She's sort of a saucy person talking back to him. How can you do this? And it leads to a dialogue that sends her back to her community. People show up, talk to Jesus, and he delays his trip for 2 whole days. Why? because he's hanging around with Samaritans who believe that he is the Messiah. And by the way, this is one of the only people in the Bible where Jesus said, confessed he was the Messiah, and he did it to a Samaritan woman. This is amazing. That's the amazing parts of this story. That's the good news. And how is it accompaniment? They started with something right there in common with a drink and moved on to the things that she brought up, topics just like he did, back and forth, until she said, here's a man who told me everything I ever did. I think those are some parts we didn't hear in the story. Well, let's move on to the Ethiopian story. Here's Philip. He's summoned from where? Samaria. He's in Samaria at a revival. God calls him to a place, a wilderness road from going from Jerusalem to Gaza, and he sees this chariot, a man sitting there reading. Yes, he heard him reading. There was no such thing as reading quietly in those days. Whenever you read aloud. So here he's reading aloud. Philip is walking alongside, and he says, do you understand what you're reading? And the man says, well, how can I, unless there's someone to guide me? And he invited Philip to accompany him, to sit in the chariot beside him. So they're having this conversation side by side, and he's reading this passage from Isaiah, and Philip explained it to him. Now, we don't know what all Philip said to him, but we do know that the conversation led to the Ethiopian saying, well, look, here's water. Why don't we stop and be baptized? I can be baptized. And that's what happened. And the punchline of the story is, and the Ethiopian went on his way rejoicing. That's what often happens in these spiritual conversations. When you touch deeply on what a person's need is, people say, this is awesome. I couldn't have believed it would have happened today. Now let me share two personal stories where this happened for me. In the hospital. You know, many of you know I was in the hospital actually three times about a year and a half ago for cancer. And I had some terrific encounters with people in that setting. One was with a young nurse. Now, when I first saw her, I'm like, because she had tattoos all over, I'm thinking, that's kind of unprofessional for a nurse. But anyhow, here she is. She's in probably her mid-20s, maybe late 20s, and she's a tattooed nurse. Well, I was on oxygen those days, okay? So I had oxygen on, and I had an IV in my arm. But that's not going to stop me from taking walks. Of course, I can only do it if I am accompanied by a nurse who has to go along with carrying the IV and so forth. So she accompanied me. So we're walking down this up and down the hallways to get in my time and exercise, and we got into a conversation. And she showed interest in something I had written because I had a couple books laying there on the about Tobias of the Amish or whatever. And the conversation was, she was accompanying me, but it didn't take long till I was accompanying her in her interest. Because what she was talking about, what was so intriguing to her, was that I had written about my parents. And she got to talking about her grandmother, because she, well, what I saw, what I sensed as a spiritual conversation was, she was wanting to connect with this grandmother in a way that she hadn't been able to do. She admired her, but hadn't really connected. Well, we got back to my room by that time, and she did something unusual. Nurses don't do this. I sat down, she sat down. Nurses don't sit down in rooms. They're busy. They stand up, and then they go to the next room. She sat down, and we talked, and I said, I can give you a fail-safe way to connect with your grandmother. I said, all you have to do is ask her, is say something like, Grandma, I don't know what it was like when you were my age. Tell me about growing up as a child. I can guarantee she'll love you and she'll talk to you like that. We went on a bit further with that, but I just saw, well, my heart was melting about that time, and I could tell hers was too. What did she say as the last thing? I'm going to stop by on my way home from work and talk to my grandmother. What I saw was a deep spiritual connection right there. I think she's on a spiritual journey, and that took her to another step. I'll tell one more story in the hospital. as you know, we had Zoom worship services, and I had three of them from the hospital for Zion. Somehow we timed these things in the hospital when we had Sunday morning worship. Well, a nurse came in who had been quite impressed that I was on Zoom in a worship service. I think I was actually preaching that morning, if I remember. She said, "Yeah, this is kind of unusual, isn't it?" I said, "Well, right." Now, this was in the afternoon, right after lunch, and Bonnie had come to visit me. She was allowed to come in there afterwards. So we're there together, and this nurse saw that the two of us were ministering together for the worship service. And she was deeply taken by this. She's a Korean, and her husband, she's here together with her husband, and she just longed someday, she said, to be work with her husband the way I was working with Bonnie. And the two of us got into a conversation with her. Again, my heart melted as we talked about her desire and her longing, and she was asking us questions. It's just rare to get into conversations that go so deep with people who speak so vulnerably about their needs and what she longed for. You know, that was the first time I saw her, and I haven't seen her since. But I'm still rejoicing at the opportunity that I had to accompany her in her spiritual journey at that moment in her life. And this morning, I'd like to just pray that you will have opportunity to accompany others in their journey along the way, whether they're Christian or non-Christian, sharing the good news, first of all, by listening to what is happening in their lives, how God is at work, and then sharing your own story or questions at the appropriate moments. Maybe that's unconventional outreach, but it feels like it's in God's convention. It's a part of the way God has made us to be. So may God grant you that pleasure and that gift in these days ahead. Lord God, I bring you this congregation with all the love that you have shed abroad in their hearts and what you've called them to share that love with others. Open up the doors, I pray, and open up the eyes and hearts of this congregation to share your love, your goodness, and your grace with everyone they meet. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.